The bloody red shrimp is roughly the size of a pencil eraser. They came to the Great Lakes around 2006 in the ballast water of cargo ships coming from the Black Sea. Since then, they've worked their way into all of the Great Lakes other than Superior.
What we know about them is they eat a variety of food items, mostly animal plankton, and algae.
This is Scott McNaught. He's a biology professor at Central Michigan University. I casually refer to the bloody red shrimp as invasive, and he grimaces.
Oh, I certainly didn't mean to make a face, but invasive is kind of a tricky word. We like to say they're an organism is invasive if it's causing some negative impact on the environment, or economic impact, or even an aesthetic impact.
So for the moment, McNaught says they are simply non-native. Emily Wimmer is a graduate assistant of Scott's. She's doing research to answer whether the bloody red shrimp could have a positive impact on the Great Lakes ecosystem.
What can we do with them? How can they benefit? Do they serve a purpose to something? And here we have a native species, these lake trout fry. They're struggling to survive. Can these fry utilize it as a food source? Can we have a native predator of the Great Lakes come back?
Wimmer says Michigan is struggling to get lake trout to reproduce naturally in the environment, and some people think a lack of food is the problem. Maybe, she says, the bloody red shrimp could become a food source.
Like I said, it's pretty cold. It's set
freezing.
At 50 right now. So.
McNaught and Wimmer take me down to their lab, where tiny blue-gray fish dart around a giant green tub. The lab is chilly, to mimic the cold temperatures of the Great Lakes. On a table across from the giant tub are tiny containers for the bloody red shrimp, marked small, medium, and large. The shrimp don't look like much, translucent with spots of red, so tiny they are barely visible.
All of them combined barely make an hors d'oeuvre.
They're not worth eating.
They are not worth eating at all. You'd be very hungry.
Not worth eating for humans, maybe, but Wimmer says the results have been conclusive for young lake trout, known as fry.
Well, first of all, the lake trout fry are able to eat these hemimysis. That was the big question that we were looking for.
So there's scientific evidence that bloody red shrimp doesn't need to be called invasive, right? Not so fast, says McNaught. One of his experiments involves invasive quagga mussels. He thinks the mussels and bloody red shrimp together could decimate plankton populations, which are essential to the local ecosystem. In the end, a Michigan committee will decide whether to label the bloody red shrimp as invasive. Even though the shrimp has already made its home in Michigan, it could still be classified as invasive. Joanne Foreman handles communications on invasives for several state agencies.
Well, we never say it's already here, it's too late. We do look at different stages of invasion. And then at each stage, we have to determine what is feasible and reasonable, what sort of actions may be able to contain and eradicate that species, or whether it's not possible to do so. So how do we manage the effects and try to reduce the spread of that population?
McNaught and Wimmer say it's too early to label the bloody red shrimp.
So what I'm trying to say is science is not black and white.
It's gray,
it's fuzzy, the screen keeps going on the fritz.
Until more definitive research comes along, the bloody red shrimp will continue to swim in that gray area. For Great Lakes Today, I'm Ben Thorpe.